السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. Tonight's personality is the greatest woman in the history of mankind, and that is Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salatu wassalam, the adorable daughter of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once the Prophet described her as being the master of the ladies, so they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, but the Holy Quran says, Mary, Maryam is the master of the ladies. He said, yes, هي أفضل نساء أهل زمانها. She is the master of the ladies of her era, her period, her time. وفاطمة بنت محمد سيدة نساء العالمين من الأولين إلى الآخرين. And Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is the master and the jewel of all ladies from the beginning of the creation till the end. Fatima alayhi salam was born almost 5 years into the ministry and the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 5 years after Bi'atha, after the Prophet was ordained and chosen and sent by God to declare his messengerhood and to invite people to worship God and to stop injustice and to follow justice and goodness and truth in this life. Story tells us that Fatima alayhi salam was born to her mother Khadija. When the Prophet was taken to see the paradise himself, in this book, in our book, in chapter 17, there is a whole chapter named after that story, the story of the ascension of the Prophet, Suratul Isra. Isra means ascension. Ascension to the heaven. The Prophet was ascended physically, not just spiritually, but physically too, to see the heaven and to meet with the prophets in heaven. So he met all the prophets while he was there. So there was two trips. That was Al-Mi'raj. The first trip was Al-Isra, which is the transfer from Mecca to Jerusalem. This is Al-Isra. Isra means nightly journey. Sara Yasri in Arabic, when you travel during the night. So that journey from Mecca to Jerusalem was a nightly journey, which is referred to in the Quran as Al-Isra. The second, the heavenly journey to heaven, was Al-Mi'raj, when the Prophet ascended to heaven. There, Jibreel gave him some fruits from a tree in the heaven, a heavenly tree, which is called Tuba, Shajaratu Tuba. So Jibreel gave him some fruits from that tree. And then when he came down back to Mecca, back to his family and his house, that night he approached his wife Khadija alayhi salam. And therefore, the seeds of Fatima started from a fruit in the heaven. Therefore, the Prophet would come and smell Fatima. His wife asks him, why do you smell her? He said, because she smells heaven. Fatima, my daughter, smells the fragrance and the aroma of the heaven. She reminds me of my journey to the heaven. So Khadija alayhi salam, she gets pregnant. You know that Khadija was very wealthy. She had many friends in Mecca. Most of her friends were very rich. But the day she decided to marry the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, almost all her friends who were polytheists, they opposed to this idea. They rejected this idea and they started chiding her. How come you marry a person, number one, he's orphan. Number two, he's poor. He's not from the aristocratic family. He's poor. He doesn't have wealth. How do you marry him? They objected that marriage. But Khadija saw in Muhammad things that she could not find elsewhere. She saw in him the inner beauty. She saw in him honesty and truth and justice. So when she married the Prophet, قَاطَعْنَهَا نِسَاءُ مَكَّةِ History tells us that women of Mecca, they boycotted Khadija. They said no one has the right to communicate with her. No one has right to speak to her. Leave her alone. Because she rebelled against the norms of our society, Quraysh society. So Khadija was lonely. The only friend she had was the Prophet Muhammad, her husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she will stay many days alone by herself. When she got pregnant, one day the Prophet comes to Khadija and he finds her speaking. He says, Khadija, ma'a man tuhaddithin? Who do you speak to? She said, Ya Rasulallah, al-janin alladhi fi batni yuhaddithuni. The fetus that I have in my womb is talking to me. The Prophet tells her, Ya Khadija, this baby in your womb, her name is going to be Fatima, and she's a female. And Jibreel is telling me from my Lord, giving me glad tidings, that this daughter Fatima is going to carry my generations, is going to carry my message to the next generations. She is going to be the channel that is going to carry my children to the whole universe. The Prophet had two sons from Khadija. Both of them died. One of them Al-Qasim, the second Al-Tahir. Both of them died at very young age. And Quraysh rejoiced this misfortune that befell the Prophet. They rejoiced. And one of them stood at the gate of the sacred mosque. When he saw the Prophet leaving the mosque, he said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْأَبْتَرِ Now, the person who has no more children is arriving. So they rejoice that Muhammad has no children, and therefore when he dies, his message is going to die with him. But Allah sent glad tidings to the Prophet. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We're going to give you an abundance of goodness, an abundance of children. Show me today, who can tell you in the society that I am one of the descendants of Bani Umayyah? I am one of the descendants of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. I am a descendant of Yazid, the son of Muawiyah. Can you show me somewhere? None. They don't exist. Not even a single person. Not even at the age of dinosaurs. They don't exist. But the Prophet Allah says, Allah says about the Prophet, Inna, verily we will give you an abundance of children, abundance of posterity, abundance of goodness through Fatima alayhi salam. And at that time Fatima was born when the Prophet gave him this glad tidings. So Khadija used to speak to her daughter Fatima when Fatima was in her womb. And after that, Fatima arrived. And she filled the life and the heart and the soul of her father, the Prophet, with happiness, with joy, with hope. And she was growing up, but unfortunately at the age of only five, tender age of five, she lost her mother Khadija alayhi salam. Khadija died because of malnutrition, because the Muslims were sieged in Mecca, and Quraysh, those are brutal men in Quraysh, they did not allow food to come in to their camp. So Khadija and Abu Talib, as I mentioned a few nights ago, both died within weeks of each other. Fatima lost her mother at the age of 5. This is not easy, my friends. It's not easy for a child to lose his mother or his father at this age. It's not easy. But this is a test. God is testing Fatima. God is testing her father, the Prophet. But she learned a lot of lessons from that. Some people fail, some people don't fail. They become stronger when they lose a loved one. So she became stronger. And she started taking care not only of herself, but her father too, to the extent that her father said about her, Fatima to Ummu Abiha. To her father, this little Fatima, young Fatima, is a mother. Because she gave her father the love that he lost. The love that he was looking for. The care that he was looking for. The Prophet was lonely in Mecca. He was surrounded by enemies. And many of those enemies were family members. Sometimes your enemies are foreigners. They don't speak your language. They don't share the faith with you. They don't share the territory with you. But when your enemies, they are your cousins, they are people who lived with you in the same town, in the same village, in the same neighborhood, they speak the same language, this is more painful. This is more painful. When they reject you, when you are trying to invite them to accept the truth, and they keep rejecting you, this is not easy. This is very frustrating. Very frustrating. God says to the Prophet, وَإِنَّهُ لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ I know, Ya Rasulullah, what you go through. You get sad. You get disappointed for their accusations, for their rejections, for their disbelief. I know very well, but don't worry about that. At the end, you're going to prevail. At the end, you're going to succeed. Don't let their accusations, pointing fingers at you, weaken you. You're going to succeed. I'm on your side. So Fatima was on her father's side from a very young age. Her father was threatened with death on many occasions. On Quraysh, they really decided to murder the Prophet. One time inside the sacred mosque near the house, the Kaaba. One time in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet was heavily wounded. He was bleeding. And Fatima alayhi salam in Medina and Mecca, first in Mecca and second in Medina, she would rush to save her father's life, to bandage his wounds, to stay with him, to nurse him, to comfort him, to encourage him, to bring him peace. And you know, when a father has a daughter that he loves and the daughter stands on his side and she comforts him, there is no bigger comfort and peace like that. When he receives this comfort from someone who is him, part of him, Fatimatun bad'atun minni. The Prophet says, she is part of me. وَرُوحِي الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْ It's my soul that I carry in my heart, in my chest. وَرُوحِي الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْ So she stood with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the best daughter to her father, a role model for every daughter. She stayed with her father, she never abandoned him. She always supported him. A father like the Prophet needs support, needs emotional, spiritual support. Khadija was a supporter, Abu Talib was a supporter, Imam Ali was a supporter, and Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was the best comfort and best aid and best protector to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they moved, Fatima moved with her future husband, to Medina from Mecca. The one who transferred her from Mecca to Medina, the pilot who took her with him, was her future husband. So 2 years or less than 2 years after moving from Mecca to Medina, people started to propose. The companions, Fatima being the jewel of the family, being the heart of the Prophet, the soul of the Prophet, the joy of the Prophet, everyone wants to marry Fatima. Everyone aspires to be with Fatima az-Zahra alayhi salam. So almost all those high-ranking companions, they came proposing for Fatima's hand. Abu Bakr came, Umar, Uthman, others and others and others. Some of them are poor, some of them are rich. One of them, Abdurrahman ibn Auf from Bani Umayyah, he was a very rich man. He said, Ya Rasulullah, in return for giving me Fatima, I am going to give you this much gold, this much silver. He thought the Prophet is selling his daughter. He's talking about his family's values, Bani Umayyah's values, because they looked at everything through the window of wealth and money. The Prophet was very polite, very polite. But at some points, the Prophet had to teach people some lessons. And that was the point where the Prophet took a handful of dust and he threw it into the face of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He said, get lost. Get lost. إِنَّكَ لَتَهُولُ عَلَيَّ بِبَالِكَ You are trying to bribe me with your wealth. I give you my daughter Fatima because you're going to give me gold and silver. Get lost with your gold and silver. So the Prophet would say, no, 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 no. Let me read you a hadith, credible hadith, of how Fatima got married. One day, روى الصدوق في عيون أخبار الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام بسنده إلى الإمام الرضا عن آبائه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. This is a golden chain of narrators, this hadith, this story, which was narrated by Imam al-Ridha, and it goes, the chain of narrators goes up to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to the Prophet. Imam Ali says, one day, قال لي رسول الله يا علي لقد عاتبني رجال من قريش في أمر فاطمة. Many people in Quraysh, they criticized me, they came to me, criticizing me. They said to me, وَقَالُوا خَطِبْنَاهَا إِلَيْكَ فَمَنَعْتَنَا وَزَوَّجْتَهَا عَلِيًّا وَزَوَّجْتُهَا عَلِيًّا We asked for your daughter's hand and you rejected us. You gave her to a man who has no money, no wealth. They come to the Prophet, they say this to him. What was the answer of the Prophet? Very meaningful answer. فقلت لهم والله ما أنا منعتكم وزوجته بل الله منعكم وزوجه. By the Lord, it was not me that I rejected you and I gave my daughter to Ali. It was God, the decision of God, who rejected you guys and he gave Fatima to Ali. فهبط علي جبرائيل فقال يا رسول الله. Jibreel came at that moment and he said, O the Messenger of God, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ God is telling you this. لَوْ لَمْ أَخْلُقْ عَلِيًّا لَمَا كَانَ لِفَاطِمَةٌ كُفْءٌ أَبَدًا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ If I hadn't created Ali as a man, there wasn't be any counterpart, any person who is equal to Fatima, who could marry Fatima, who could carry the same credentials, who could be qualified to marry Fatima. The only man who was really qualified to marry your daughter is Ali ibn Abi Talib. They were compatible. Compatible in what? In what? In blood? In color? No. In a dress? In the zip code? They live in the same zip code? They go to the same club, golf club? In their hobbies, in their sport, in what? in the same perfume that they like, in the same cuisine. None of these. Compatible in manners, in akhlaq, in inner beauty, in patience, in being completely disfranchised from this life and always looking up to the next one. Giving their life, their time, their money, their food for the sake of the next one. This is the real compatibility. This is what you have to find in your future partner. If that future partner is compatible with your values, with your principles, with your perception of this dunya, does he share the same perception? That is important. Ali and Fatima were compatible. Therefore, they lived during the darkest time of the history of Islam. The darkest time, the most difficult time. The most difficult time. If you read the history of Islam, it was filled with tension, filled with threats. Do you hear nowadays that there might be, God forbids, a war in the Middle East? At that time, this feeling prevailed every day, not once a year, not once in 10 years. Every day there was a threat of military invasion, invading Medina, attacking Medina. Or hypocrites who live in downtown Medina, according to the book, according to chapter 9, Surah At-Tawbah. وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. There are hypocrites living around Medina and downtown Medina. Where is downtown Medina? Downtown Medina is the mosque of the Prophet. The mosque of the Prophet is down. So they lived close to the mosque, some of them inside the mosque. لا تعلمهم نحن نعلمهم. Some of them you don't recognize, we know them. God says in chapter 9, Surah At-Tawbah. So there was a threat, disstability, every tension, threat of war, every single day. But the life of Ali and Fatima was the most peaceful, the most stable, because they integrated each other. They protected each other. They helped each other. They never complained about anything. Their life was filled with satisfaction, inner satisfaction. Not because of money. They didn't have money. They were poor. Ali was struggling to raise 4 children, to defend Islam, to help the poor and the needy in his community. Ali was working, you know, full-time job, defending Islam. But Fatima never complained. Because Fatima's goal was not this dunya. As her father said, one day when he came to her house to visit her, he finds her wearing, some people say bracelets, some people say a necklace. So he sat there for a few minutes and then he left. Fatima realized that the father did not stay longer today as usual because something wrong. And she received this necklace not from South Coast. She didn't buy it from there. A friend of her gave it to her as a gift because she's the daughter of the Prophet. She gave her a necklace. So immediately she takes off that necklace. She gives that necklace to Hassan and Hussein. She says to them, خُذُوهُ إِلَى جَدِّكُمَا. Take this necklace to your father, grandfather. So they come. While they are coming, 2 babies carrying a necklace, the Prophet said, فِدَاهَا أَبُوهَا فَعَلَتْهَا فِدَاهَا أَبُوهَا. I know my daughter is going to do this. I know that. They gave the necklace to the father. They said, Ya Rasulullah, my mother say, give it for the sake of God. And then he said, the Prophet, this important sentence, مَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَالدُّنْيَا. مَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. They have nothing. They are not connected to this dunya. Their aspiration is not this life. فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ خُلِقُوا لِلْآخِرَةِ. They have been made and designed and prepared for the next one, not this one. This is Fatima. This is Fatima al-Zahra in her character, in her farsightedness. The more we detach ourselves from these desires, worldly desires, the more we are able to detach ourselves from these worldly desires, the bigger and the better we grow, the stronger we become. Many people today survive with little food, with little clothing, with no accessories in their homes. Their life is simple, but they are much greater and much stronger. When the disasters strike, they don't collapse, because they develop their power of resistance. Power of resistance. It's up to us. We can develop it, nurture it, or we can reject it. The choice is ours. Fatima alayhi salam decided that the power of resistance is more important. This is why when they fasted 3 days, consecutive days, and they had only bread on their table, and someone comes, look at the test. He doesn't come 5 hours before or 5 hours later. He comes when you are ready to eat the food. Can you imagine when you were breaking your breakfast today, iftar today, and someone says, give me this food. He takes it away from you. You don't feel happy about that. I know some kids, they don't even share their food with others. They've been fasting, they need the food. They are waiting to eat this food. At that time, someone knocks at the door, at the time where they are trying to enjoy the first bite. The first bite, my friends, family of five. Someone knocks at the door and they give the food. The story is repeated the second night, is repeated the third night. The kids, they don't scream, they don't say, enough is enough. We are hungry. They don't say that, because they are raised by Fatima alayhi salam, by Ali ibn Abi Talib. They are raised by good parents, by good role models. They instill in them the spirit of self-control, the spirit of sharing their food with others. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. They give the food for the sake of God, for a destitute, for an orphan, for a captive, a prisoner of war. We only give the food for the satisfaction of God. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Neither we await a word of thanks nor a word of appreciation. This is Fatima. This is when the mother is a role model, children learn. When the father is a role model, children are going to follow suit. The most important thing we learn in Ramadan is to fight greed. If we are able to fight greed over these few nights and days, we will graduate successfully from this season. To fight the greed. And Fatima was a role model. So she raised her children as soon as she got married with Ali. And how did she get married? Very interesting stories. I don't have time to cover it. But today, marriage, my friends, is an occasion for us, for ostentation, to show off. Most people who throw huge parties in hotels and expenses of places, why do they do that? Why? To show off, to tell the people I am wealthy. I have this and that. But Fatima alayhi salam, she had a different purpose for marriage, different goal. Nowadays, we think too much of our weddings, but we forget about the marriage itself. We put our focus on the wedding, how the wedding should be, and the minute details of the wedding, what hotel, what hall, what type of banquet, how many people we invite, which one we invite, which one we disinvite, what things we wear. People are worried 2 years before the wedding about their wedding gown. 2 years. What they're going to wear. the makeup, this, that. But when it comes to real marriage, they forget about these details. They forget. This is why marriages are collapsing. They don't last. They don't last. Because they waste lots of money on weddings, but they don't invest in their marriage itself, in the spiritual and moral values of their family, their marriage. Ali came with only 480 dirhams at that time. This money is an equivalent of today's value, I would say $3,000. And how did he make that money? He didn't have cash money. He came to the Prophet, he said, I have a three item, Ya Rasulullah. Sayfi, wa dir'i, wa nadhihi. Only three items I own. I don't have to pay mortgage on them. Okay, they are paid off. My sword, my shield, and my skin water container that I work with. At some point, he has to work as a farmer. So he needed that skin water container. The Prophet said to him, this water container you need because you are a breadwinner. You have to sustain your family. The sword we need your sword to defend us, to defend Islam. But the shield, Ya Ali, you are courageous. You don't need a shield. So go and sell your shield in the market. Some people said for 500. Some historians say 480 dirham. The Prophet divided that money into three. One, he gave to women to buy perfume for Fatima. Wow, perfume? This is something that is neglected within the Muslim societies, alhamdulillah. They buy everything except perfume. The Prophet said perfume. The second part of that money goes to a gown for Fatima alayhi salam. The third, it goes for the simple furniture of one room. No living room, no kitchen, no master bedroom, no family room, no whatever room, no exercise room, what they call it, gym, you know, no swimming pool, just one simple room adjacent to the mosque of the Prophet, built by the Prophet. The Prophet built a room because Fatima and Ali had to rent a house far from the mosque. After a few weeks, the Prophet said, no, I can't take it. I need Fatima next to me. So he built a room, small room, next to the mosque. And the room opens directly into the mosque. So when Ali and Fatima want to leave the house, they have to go through the mosque itself. Simple furniture. The simplest wedding, but at the same time, the most fruitful and successful and stable and peaceful wedding in the history of mankind. So, the Prophet invited the Muslims after Isha. No need to send invitation cards and return for the confirmation. What they call it? RSVP. Nothing like that. The Prophet said to Imam Ali, after Salat al-Isha, stand at the door of the masjid and say, أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ هَلُمُّ إِلَىٰ وَلِيمَةِ إِبْنَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. Beautiful. Beautiful invitation. O Muslims, come and respond to the invitation of the wedding, the walima, the reception of the daughter of your Prophet Muhammad. And the Muslims, they come and they eat. And the Prophet himself cooks the food, being aided by the groom himself. Imagine the groom, he has a wedding tonight and he's cooking the food, helping his father-in-law. This is the beauty of this marriage. Everything is homemade. No catering from this restaurant or that restaurant. They purchased the food, they cooked the food, they prepared the food, they received the people. Everything was simple. And my friends, believe me, keep your weddings, those who hear me tonight, keep your wedding simple. If you want your wedding to continue, to endure, to be successful, to be a blessed one with barakah. Barakah is important. Do you want to stabilize your wedding, your marriage? Make it simple. Don't make it sophisticated. Don't make it very costly. Make it simple. God puts the blessings in it. So they eat, and then that night the Prophet gives the hand of Fatima to Ali. And he says to him, Ya Ali, hadihi wadi'ati andak. Ali, this is my trust. Wadi'a means a trust, valuable a trust. Amana, valuable a trust. I keep her with you, take care of her. And then he turns to Fatima. He says to her, Ya Fatima, ni'ma zawju aliyan. I have chosen for you the best husband. And then he turns to Ali and he says, Ya Ali, ni'ma zawjatu Fatima. The best wife is Fatima to Zahra alayhi salam. And the marriage took off from that day. The first product of that marriage was born on like today, the 15th of Ramadan, the Milad of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. On the 15th of this month, Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam was born. And then followed by almost a year or less than 1 year by his sibling brother Abu Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. Then by Lady Zainab, which I am going to speak about her tomorrow, and then by Lady Umm Kulthum or Kalthum, this is the proper pronunciation, Umm Kalthum, which is I am going to talk about her the night on Wednesday, inshallah, the night after tomorrow. 4 children, adorable children, beautiful children, who were really the cause of comfort for their parents. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. They took after the steps, the example of their parents, Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, and Umm Kulthum. And Fatima was struggling to raise those 4 children, to teach them Islam, to teach them piety. Ali ibn Abi Talib was struggling to make ends meet. He's a breadwinner to feed his family. Life was not easy at that time. But through these struggles, they grew up together. And Fatima was always obedient and catering and accommodating to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was merciful and respectful to his wife. Marriage goes 2 ways, my friends. 2 ways. Respect, appreciation cannot be from one side. It doesn't work. It has to be from both sides. Ali and Fatima, they sacrificed their life for Islam first and for each other second. And they produced the best marriage in the history of mankind. And when the Prophet was on deathbed, he was concerned about Fatima alayhi salam. Fatima was crying, was very sad. Aisha says, she came to the Prophet said something into her ears. He whispered into her, she was crying. A minute later, he said something, again something else. She was laughing. I said to her, Ma asra al-dhihk bil-buka. How fast you are laughing after being crying. What did he say to you? She said, مَا كُنْتُ لِأُخْفِيَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سِرَّهِ. I am not going to disclose the secret of the Prophet, what the Prophet said. But after the death of the Prophet, she said, Fatima said, when he first told me and I was crying, he said, Ya Fatima, I am going to leave soon. My days are numbered. Again, when he whispered the second time, he said, Ya Fatima, anti asra'u ahli bayti luhuqan bi. You are the fastest one among my family to join me and be reunited with me soon after my departure. So I was smiling, I was happy. Therefore the Prophet says, according to Sunni narrators and Shia narrators, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاطِمَةُ أَوَّلُ أَحْلِ بَيْتِي لِحُوقًا بِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The first one who is going to be reunited with me in paradise is my daughter, فاطمة الزهراء. سلام الله عليك يا فاطمة يا سيدة نساء العالمين يا أم الحسن والحسين يا زوجة أمير المؤمنين يا بنت رسول الله. اللهم أنلنا شفاعتها. والله enable us to receive her intercession inshallah on the day of judgment in paradise inshallah. واجعلنا معها واحشرنا معها ومع أبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا ودعاءنا في هذا الشهر العظيم واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.